Before we jump into this episode of The Travel Agents, we just wanted to give a special shout out to our Germany listeners. We've noticed that ever since we've started this podcast, you guys have been following every episode that we've released. And we would actually love to have you guys on the episode. We would love to talk to you about Germany or anything that you guys would love to talk about. And that goes out to all of our listeners, but especially our German folks. And if you're interested, please go down to the description, get our contact information, reach out to us, and we would love to meet you guys.
We're the travel agents coming to you with tips, tricks, interviews, and voyages by cruise. The travel agents bringing you the latest travel news.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
We're your hosts for the Travel Agents Podcast. Today, Will, we're talking about Seattle.
Yeah, man. For the past year, honestly, for like the last 12 months, my wife and I have had the pleasure of traveling the United States. My wife is a travel nurse, so that has allowed us to see some places that we haven't got a chance to visit. And one of which is the Seattle area. And I want to make it clear, in this episode, we're only going to be talking about Seattle. We're not going to be talking about the surrounding areas. We're going to have an episode dedicated to that. So if you're here for the hikes and the nature, you'll have to tune in for our Pacific Northwest episode. Today, we're going to be talking about the beauty of the city of Seattle. And I had the pleasure of living there for about 7 months, and I've got to experience the area as a local. I've met a ton of wonderful people that live in the Seattle area. So I feel like I've experienced Seattle in a way that I wouldn't normally get to.
And I visited you while you were out there, and that was my second trip to Seattle. And both my trips did look quite touristy.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to come at this with more of a tourist perspective. And I'm fine with that because we're in the tourism industry. And I hope you can come at it with also a bit of a local perspective too, having lived there.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, with that, we're just going to roll right into our defining words.
Here's three words to help you. Here's our defining words.
Starbucks, Starbucks, coffee, 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 coffee.
I mean, it almost goes without saying. Starbucks, Seattle, they go hand in hand, but coffee is the first word here. If you're a fan of that beautiful drink, this is the place for you. There are cafes all over the place. They actually have like these cafe stands. So instead of like fast food restaurants and fast food chains, like a Starbucks drive through or whatever, it's a coffee stand and they're everywhere. Yeah. They're, instead of just having a gas station, there's a coffee stand.
Do you think there are any like Folgers drinkers in Seattle? Or is that like a sin? Just like, no, get out of here.
They got kicked out a long time ago, I'd imagine.
We smell you. We just chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah. I mean, there is a great number of places to go within Seattle to get a nice cup of coffee. But that's going to lead us into our next defining word, and that's water. And oh boy, does this city experience a lot of water and have a lot of water. If you're into water sports whatsoever, this city is for you. It's surrounded by two bodies of water. You have the Puget Sound and then you have Lake Washington. But not only that, it rains all the time. It's no joke. Yeah. It's true.
Do you just like always have a rain jacket on hand, like whenever you go, or just like just look at the weather?
You just accept it. I don't think, I don't know anyone that like carries umbrellas
in the
area.
You're just always wet.
Yeah, you're just kind of always wet.
A little damp.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. So, I mean, if you're going to go to Seattle, have the expectation that it's going to rain. The exception of like July and August. Yeah.
It's got to make hiking difficult. We'll talk about that in another episode, but I was just thinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll touch a lot more on that in like a different episode. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. When you go on a hike, it's definitely muddy and it's not swampy, but like you're definitely going to come prepared for the moisture. So you'll want to bring hiking boots for sure.
Yeah. I'll bet waterproof shoes and boots are just pretty standard. Most people probably have them.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There's a bunch of like SNL skits and like Fred Armisen has like skits about like typical like hipster Seattle wear, and like everyone's wearing like those hiking boots.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like it's a staple. I mean, there's you know, beanies, flannels, and hiking boots.
That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Views is our third word.
Yeah, man. I would be remiss if I didn't say that Seattle is one of the most beautiful locations in the United States for a city.
It's incredible, yeah.
Yeah, you have a beautiful view of Mount Rainier for 2 months of the year. No, I mean, you do have those like beautiful clear days. And when you see Rainier, you're like, wow, yeah, this is really cool. And
nice pronunciation. Is that like the what tallest mountain in the world?
No, it's a volcano in the area. It might be the tallest mountain in the continental United States.
Okay.
But Denali in Alaska is higher, or formerly Mount McKinley.
Okay.
But yeah, it's high up there, and I mean, you'll be able to see it like from miles out.
Yeah. It's located 59 miles from Seattle.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. But yeah, outside of even having views of Mount Rainier, you have these beautiful views of Puget Sound, of Lake Washington and the surrounding areas. And, it's a gorgeous, just gorgeous view.
Did you know that it's considered one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world? And about 80,000 people and their homes are at risk in Mount Rainier's, Lahar, L-A-H-A-R, Lahar, hazard zones.
I don't know about that. That's interesting. I did not know that. I would imagine, I thought it would have been like somewhere in the Philippines or something.
Yeah. And the last, sorry, one more fact, because this is interesting. In the last 70 years, like 440,000 people have climbed it.
Wow.
And approximately 84 people died while climbing it in the past 70 years.
Okay. Yeah. It's, I mean, hey, it's there if you want to hike it, you know?
Interesting. Highs and lows?
Let's do it.
Sometimes things are good, sometimes they're bad too. It's highs, lows, coming to you.
Will, tell us about Pike's Place and why you just gotta go there.
Yeah, absolutely. Pike's Place is probably my favorite location in the city, and it is actually the most touristy. I'm not usually the one to go to like the more... I'm not usually the one to say my favorite place is the touristy location, but yeah. In Seattle's case, it's Pike's Place, and it is my favorite place in the city.
Yeah.
If you're interested in Starbucks and Starbucks history, and you're really, really all about Starbucks, Pike's Place is the location of the OG Starbucks, where it all started.
Right.
But there's so much more to Pike's Place than just Starbucks. There's all these beautiful vendors. I mean, just stories on stories on stories of vendors. And there's something there for everyone, whether that be someone who wants some fresh produce, someone who wants produce from a different culture like Italy or some African country. You'll be able to get that if you want fresh flowers or just, you know, local art, anything. I mean, there's just local vendors for everything there, and Pike's Place is just a really cool spot.
So as you walk in, you kind of get hit with right away with the fish, kind of from that main entrance, right, with the big sign where everyone takes the picture.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And they throw the fish?
They do, yeah. That's definitely one of the more famous things that they do. They'll go around and they'll crowd around the vendor and the two guys, they'll throw a fish. And
okay.
It's just, yeah, it's a touristy thing, and it's just something that they do, and it's cool, okay. You know.
So you see all these vendors lined up kind of at that first main floor where you walk in. Again, I'm talking with that main kind of iconic sign that you get your picture in front of that says something like market.
Pike's Place.
Oh, okay. My bad. And then, but you can go inside, and it's like, once you go inside, this is really unique.
Yeah, there's a huge brewery at like the bottom floor,
okay,
basement floor. I don't know what you would call it. And there's galleries, there's old books, seriously, they have everything.
The shape of it is crazy because you think it's not that big, but actually it's huge. And there's these little shops all over, and these like narrow corridors that looks like you're walking through like someone's home, but like you're in a public area, and all of a sudden, there's a random like magic card shop next to you and baseball card shop or something, and then a bookshop, and then there's steps to go down, and you're like, where am I? It's like a maze.
Yeah. I've been to Pike's Place probably a dozen times, and I know for a fact there are vendors and shops that I have not been to. It's cool. A maze, and you'll very easily get lost. So, and it's also, if you're interested in the gum wall,
yeah,
the disgusting, gross gum wall,
right?
That is where it is. It's in Pike Place. So
everywhere, and you're stepping on it, you're taking pictures of it, you're touching it, you're rolling. No, I'm kidding. It is sick. But real quick, there is a walking tour most days of the week.
Yes, that's right.
It's like a 2-hour walking tour, and they take you through Pike's Place. So if you're kind of overwhelmed by all that we just said, you might consider booking that 2-hour walking tour, and they give you a nice lay of the land, and they take you to the best places.
Yes, and if you are going to Pike's Place, get a cup of coffee, whether it be at Starbucks or not, and go to Beecher's. Beecher's is incredible. Yeah. It's macaroni and cheese. Yeah. They make the cheese right in front of you. And oh, it's so good. Highly recommend. One of my favorite spots in Seattle.
I'd say it was the best mac and cheese I've ever had.
Nice.
I don't really have another one to compare it to.
I love to hear that.
Our next high is Asian cuisines.
Yeah. I mean, this is pretty self-explanatory. Being on the West Coast, Seattle has amazing food, but in particular, it has amazing Asian food, whether it be Taiwanese, Chinese, Japanese, Thai, you name it, they have it. And it's delicious. One of my favorite spots is it's called Din Tai Fung. You can find it in Seattle and you can find it in the surrounding areas, but it's Taiwanese food. So lots of dumplings and a lot of bao. I'm probably butchering that, B-A-O, but those bread buns. I think
you got it.
And highly recommend it. I think they originated in Taiwan and they won a Michelin star in the original location. So they've just kind of replicated that model, and they've have a few in Seattle. So I highly recommend that. And any Asian spot, I think you'd be hard pressed to find a bad Asian meal in Seattle.
Next is the Space Needle. So this is something that I really enjoyed. I am a sucker for going up high in buildings and looking out, but the Space Needle is like no other. You kind of, it's got the shape. That's just awesome. And I know there's a lot of packages. The Space Needle is right next to Chihuly's Garden.
Chihuly Glass Museum. Yep.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of tickets, you can get like a combined ticket, which includes the Space Needle entry as well as the Glass Museum.
Yeah. So you can get a Seattle City Pass, and you in that City Pass, you have two options. You can either get the Chihuly Glass Museum ticket and a Space Needle ticket, or you can have those two as well as the Seattle Aquarium, which is very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
The views are gorgeous because like you're kind of looking out towards Alaska, so you can imagine what that looks like. And as well as you got the city because you're kind of in, southwest Seattle at the Space Needle. Southern end at least.
Yeah.
Continued on that. Not that important. you're seeing downtown Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, you can't technically see Alaska, but you can see some incredible stuff. On a clear day, you'll be able to see the Cascade Mountain Range. You're going to be able to see Mount Rainier in all its glory. You're going to be able to see some really incredible views of Puget Sound and Lake Washington and some of the ferries coming in and out.
Oh, the Space Needle's northwest.
Okay. Seattle. I was about to say, I thought like it was pretty north.
I was the opposite. Huh. Okay.
No, that's okay. I mean, it's in Seattle.
It's in Seattle.
And they just celebrated, I want to say, 60 years. They just repainted it, and it looks hideous.
They painted it orange-ish, right?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Why did they pick the orange?
I don't know why they did orange. You would think it would have been like the lime green of like all of their sports teams, but for some reason they did orange.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. It's another touristy thing, but it's highly worth it. Definitely one of my favorite aspects of Seattle is the Space Needle.
Who is Mr. Chihuly?
Yeah, so Dale Chihuly is a very famous glass artist. Okay. He's from Tacoma, Washington, which is where I called home for about 7 months, not the Chihuly Glass Museum, but Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah.
He's so famous. He has works everywhere in the world. And he's just one of those guys who was sort of the staple of glass blowing, and he has his own museum. So
it's incredible.
I never really thought of like glass and glass blowing and the artistry of all of that. I mean, it makes sense wholeheartedly, but this glass museum is going to showcase to you a lot of his most impressive work. I mean, very huge, grand pieces that are, 30, 40 feet in length. On top of all of the exhibitions, they actually do have a glass blowing exhibition where they'll have an expert sort of live demo how to blow glass and like does a demonstration. And they usually run that like every like 45 minutes or so. And that's really cool. Yeah, it's a cool place to check out.
I wonder if he's ever been to Venice. You know, Venice, Italy has the island of Murano or Burano where they blow the glass.
Yeah, that's right. I bet he has. Yeah. But yeah, big famous figure in the Washington area. So if you're interested in art as a whole, I recommend the Chipotle.
Tell us about Cary Park, K-E-R-R-Y.
Yeah, Cary Park is probably my favorite spot for viewpoint in Seattle. And it's a little bit off. I don't want to say it's off the beaten path, but it's actually unknown. I've talked to a few Seattle people who live in the area and they didn't know Cary Park, which kind of blew my mind. But
pretty awesome views.
Yeah, it's a
wow.
It gives you a really beautiful view of Mount Rainier, of the Space Needle, and just the skyline of Seattle. I would make a lot of bets that a lot of the skyline of Seattle are probably taken from Cary Park. And if you're a Grey's Anatomy fan, one of the shooting locations is like right there.
Well, the Space Needle alone gives Seattle this look of like a futuristic city that should be in like a comic book. Do we know anything about the Space Needle and why?
That's a good point.
Was it a gift from someone? Why was it built?
So it was built in the 1964 Seattle World's Fair. So just like the Eiffel Tower, and I want to say another really important building, I think somewhere in Chicago. Okay. This building was built for the World's Fair in 1964, and it was a celebration of like trying to create something that had that futuristic feel, looking into the future.
Sorry, 1962. Who's World's
1962? Fair? 1962. So close.
I just thought that was all off memory. I'm very impressed.
I'm sorry. 1962. They quote like the Jeffersons, like when you go to the Space Needle and you are making your way up to the top, you're going to see all about how the Space Needle was built and the inspiration and all this kind of stuff. And they built this monorail that was very futuristic at the time. It's very basic now, but what it does is it takes you from the Space Needle to the mall, which is about two blocks, and it's like $3 or something like that. It's fun for the novelty of it.
Yeah, love it. Starbucks and Starbucks Reserve. And also, before we talk about the Starbucks Reserve, so the first Starbucks of all time is near, so you said it's near Pike's Place.
It's in Pike's Place.
Does it have the original logo or something?
It does, yeah. It's very weird.
You can go in there and get a coffee.
Yeah, and there's two drinks, I guess, that are exclusive to the original location at Pike's Place, and they're very good.
So how bad is the line?
Oh, it's insane. It's insane. You'll probably wait, I would say on like a slow day, average slow day, it's like 45 minutes. We went near close and we still waited like 20 minutes.
So everyone is there probably as a tourist, not for the coffee.
Honestly, I would go back for the exclusive drink. It was really good. I remember one of them was like a strawberry shortcake cold brew, and it was really good, but I'm a fan of the cold brew. But if you're a fan of Starbucks, but you want something a little bit more luxurious, should I say, Starbucks has these luxury line of locations called the Starbucks Reserve. I think they're only in like, I want to say about a dozen locations around the world. One is in New York City, one is in Chicago, but of course there is one in Seattle and I highly recommend it. I think it's really cool. You will be hard pressed to find a seat. But they have drinks that aren't at normal Starbucks locations. They have cold brews brewed in whiskey barrels. They have just a whole slew of things. And honestly, I think about that cold brew brewed in whiskey barrels all the time.
I was very shocked when you had me take this long walk to go to a Starbucks because I had never heard of a Starbucks Reserve. And I thought like, well, there's a Starbucks on every corner back home. Why the heck are we going to this great length to get to this place? We walked in and you're blown away because you feel you don't feel like you're in a Starbucks. Nothing about the decor and the ambiance says Starbucks. It feels like you're in a very like a classy restaurant or like a speakeasy classy bar in like a fancy neighborhood or something. So all that is super cool.
Yeah.
And then the sheer fact that you could get was the drink you just said, it's coffee from a whiskey barrel?
It's coffee brewed or aged, sorry. It's a coffee aged in a whiskey barrel.
And you get a giant cool ice cube in it, right?
It's like you're drinking like an old fashioned, but it's coffee and it's so good. It was so good.
I still think about that.
Yeah. There's no alcohol. Let me make that clear. It's completely non-alcoholic. It's just coffee, but it's just brewed inside of a whiskey barrel. So it has that flavor. So yeah, a lot of really cool things. It's located on Pike Street, just the same as Pike's Market.
Yeah.
But it's about a mile out. So you can walk there.
Yeah.
But I would exercise some caution. You will be walking through one of the most dangerous areas in Seattle.
It's near Chaz, am I right?
It is. It's really close to the Capitol Hill authorization zone or autonomous zone or whatever they called it.
Yeah.
So it's really close to an area that
we had a good hour or so in Chaz.
We did. Yeah, it was interesting.
Soaking it in, didn't we?
Soaking it in is a word for it. Yeah.
Last high is the Museum of Pop Culture. I added this because I loved it. Will, what did you think?
You know, I don't remember too much about it, to be honest with you. And I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
But I didn't really care for it too much.
Good. It's okay that we disagree. Yeah, I thought it was interesting. There was when I was there, and I'm not a Trekkie, but there was I'm drawing a blank. What's it called? Star Trek.
I'm not a Trekkie, but what's the name of that place?
I was gonna say Starbucks. Star Trek exhibit, which I found fascinating. It actually made me want to watch it. I didn't,
but
it made me. They had just a lot of interesting facts about pop over my lifetime and the obviously generations before me that I found to be very interesting.
You mean like soda pop or like no. Like pop like music?
Pop music, okay, pop culture. You could... parts of it reminded me of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Sure.
Like you could see so-and-so's famous dress that they wore at the awards, or you could see the blank that was done in this movie or something like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. There's some artifacts and like...
Yeah, but they had also like at the very end, soundproof rooms that you go in and play an instrument or sing and like record yourself and stuff.
That's right. Yeah. They have like a whole area dedicated to a lot of famous musicians like Kurt Cobain and Jimi Hendrix, who are both from the Seattle area.
Aesthetically, it's a very cool museum that I got a lot of fun pictures.
I will say that it is very aesthetically pleasing and very cool. It's located right next to the Space Needle and right next to Chihuly. So if you do pick up the City Pass, you'll be able to get into the Museum of Pop Culture, I want to say at no additional cost.
There you go.
If I remember correctly. Okay. Yeah.
Let's talk about our lows.
Yeah. So honestly, I'll be honest. Seattle is one of my least favorite cities I've ever been to. Sure. And the reason being is...
Thanks for your honesty.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I got to be honest, you know? The big reason is because of the crime. I alluded to it a little bit when I was talking about the walk to the Starbucks Reserve. The really interesting thing about Seattle is that you can be in Pike's Place and you can walk three blocks away from it and you are then smack dab in one of the worst areas, if not the worst area in Seattle. In fact, they have a McDonald's there and it has a nickname being McStabbies. It's really dangerous because it's, I know.
Did you get stabbed?
No, but because we avoided it.
Okay.
It has this reputation because it has all these drug users and drug dealers all along the street. And you're going to see them openly use, openly defecate, openly anything out on the street. And when you get closer to tourism season, closer to like cruise tourism season,
which is May through September.
Yeah, they clean that area up a lot. But if you start walking away from Pike's Place and you start seeing like an area where there's just two dozen cop cars, you are in that area that I'm talking to you. It's 3rd and Pike, 3rd Street and Pike. It's a corner and if it's nighttime, you will really want to avoid that area as a whole. But it's not just that area in Seattle. You can walk very easily into an area that seems okay, but is actually a bad area. They look pretty normal. In fact, my wife and I, we were walking in downtown Seattle, very close away from Pike's Place. I would say maybe two, maybe at most three blocks away from Pike's Place. And we were walking to go get bubble tea and we walked in the shop and immediately the owner of the bubble tea was like, "Hey, you guys aren't from here, are you?" We're like, "No, we're not." And the guy said, you do not want to walk around in this area. Someone just got stabbed outside of my shop 30 minutes ago. This is a really bad area. I don't let female employees here. I have to board this up. It's really dangerous. I would really recommend, instead of walking around Seattle, that you take a Lyft or an Uber and go to any of your locations that you want to go to, even if it seems like it's really close. So
right.
I just exercise some caution. I would say it's worse in the winter months, and it's a lot better closer to that tourism season.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how do you feel about doing this episode, Will, when in one sense you did have some good experiences in Seattle and there's some yeah. great things to see and do, but safety is going to be a number one issue for pretty much any traveler going anywhere. So are you going to tell people to avoid Seattle entirely, or are you going to say avoid this area, or you can do this or do that, or what tips do you have?
Sure. My recommendation, quite honestly, you could probably do all of Seattle in one day.
Okay.
I think the best part of the area is the nature stuff. And there's a lot to do there.
Sure.
A lot of hiking and all these amazing trails and amazing outdoor stuff. But when it comes to Seattle, sadly, the city is on a downturn. And sure. if you ask anyone that's a local in the area, they're going to tell you the same thing. When you ask, like when we first got into the area, we asked people like, hey, what is there to do in Seattle? What is there to do in Seattle? Like, what do you recommend? And unanimously, I mean, I'm not kidding. I never met a single person. Every single one of them would say, we don't go into Seattle. It's too dangerous. And it's on a downturn. There's not enough to do.
But to your point, I remember you being disappointed when you heard just what, from all those locals, what the city used to be like.
Yeah. And I think that is a testament to it in itself. There's a great level of sorrow for a lot of people that live in Seattle and in the area, because they have these beautiful, fond memories of what the city used to be like 5 years ago. Wow. I mean, not even like super long ago.
Yeah.
And when you talk to people about the area, you can sense that sorrow.
Yeah.
Because you can see the Seattle, you can see that Seattle's got great like bones. Like it's got a good infrastructure. It's a
gorgeous city.
It's gorgeous. But you can definitely see that layer of like dirt and like grime.
Yeah.
And it's
tough when you see, or just that one, we were near Pike's place and we were walking next to a family. They were pushing two children in strollers and they were just inches from a gentleman who was lighting up a spoon with you know what in it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's like so common, you know, it's really common.
It was like, oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. It becomes almost like second nature.
It's tough.
So,
okay. We hit it.
Yeah.
You mentioned nothing is very okay. Another low. We're still on our lows. We have three more. Nothing's that close for things near, like to do nearby.
Yeah. I kind of alluded to the fact that the area is really great for nature stuff. So if like you're interested in climbing Rainier or climbing some of Rainier's trails, that's probably the closest like huge nature activity. Mm-hmm. And it's an hour and a half to 2 hours away, depending on like the weather and stuff. Everything else, like 3 hours, three and a half, 4 hours.
So it makes day trips difficult.
It does make day trips difficult. So like one of my best recommendations for you is if you want to see Seattle, but it's not like the big thing about why you're going to Washington, is actually to get somewhere closer to the nature stuff that you're interested in and then taking a day trip to Seattle as opposed to staying in Seattle and then taking a day trip to the nature stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, just to quickly present the devil's advocate, I've had clients go to Seattle even recently, and they have loved it.
Good. I love hearing that. Good. Good.
So,
seriously, no, that's awesome. I mean,
it's good to hear. It's good to have these perspectives, and I love hearing your perspective.
Yeah.
Especially since you were there for so long.
Yeah. I will say that as the months went on, it got better. It got cleaner.
Yeah.
And that's because of the tourist season.
There's also a chance that as you're a tourist, some things you're oblivious to.
Definitely.
Because you just see the prettiness.
Yeah.
And you can turn your eye to things that maybe a local would see or be. Like the sheer fact that you walked right into a bubble tea place in a neighborhood you should not have been in. Mm. I'm guessing a local would have known that.
Yeah.
But that was early into your time there and you didn't know that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Next, let's go for the weather and the climate and the rain. I'm sure a lot of people were hoping we would talk about the rain.
Yeah, so this is kind of a catch-22. There's a great aspect about the climate, and then there's a low aspect of the climate.
Yeah.
The low aspect is that if you don't like rain, well, it's going to rain more than likely, unless you're there in like July or August.
Okay.
It rains, I want to say, like 300 days out of the year. I mean, seriously, it rains so much. But the plus side, the upswing of that is that you very rarely will experience snow. I'm talking about Seattle. You very rarely will experience snow. It will very rarely drop below 40, and it will very rarely get any hotter than 75 degrees. Now, yeah, it will, but maybe like a few days out of the year.
Sure.
And it makes it a little bit more pleasant.
So even if you're going in July or August, which should be the hottest months, you still want to bring like a sweater just in case.
Dude, July 4th, I was hanging out in sweats and just, yeah, kind of bundled. Yeah.
Nice. All right. I'm going to move on to tips.
Yeah, let's do it.
Tips from the travel agents.
So kind of in no real order here, just some random things we thought of. If you're a sports fan, Seattle's great. You have the Seattle Mariners for baseball, the Seattle Seahawks for football. Any basketball? The Supersonics were the team. I don't think they're a team anymore. There's no Seattle basketball team.
There isn't anymore. There is conversation of bringing them back.
Okay.
And then there's the Seattle Sounders and then the Seattle Kraken. So if you're interested in hockey, that's the Seattle Kraken. They're right next to the Space Needle. If you're interested in baseball, that's Seattle Mariners, which I don't even know why I'm bringing up the names. Of course, you know their names if you're interested in the sport. But the Mariners and the Seahawks are right next to each other. Beautiful stadiums. And then the Sounders actually play, I want to say, in the Seahawks stadium. So if you're interested in any sports whatsoever, it's going to be a great city for you.
The Seattle Supersonics last year was 2008, and the team relocated to Oklahoma City, where now they're the Oklahoma City Thunder.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm sure my brother and friends are like, oh my gosh, Brian, how did you not know Supersonics aren't a team anymore? All my sports knowledge is from 1995 when the Cleveland Indians were in the World Series.
Oh my gosh.
Let's talk about the rail from the airport to the city. You know, it's always tough getting from an airport to a city center. You know, there's private drivers that can take you for, you know, $150 one way plus tip. So here is an option to take the rail, which I know in 2017 when I went there, I took the rail from the airport right to like a central, like a city center location right near the Space Needle to where I actually walked to my hotel. At that time, I remember it was relatively inexpensive, probably $10 or less, and it was a safe way for transportation. Do you have any thoughts about the rail in Seattle?
Yeah, I do. I would exercise extreme caution depending on the line that you're going onto and the time of night or time of day that you're going on the public transport. Now, Seattle has a reputation of having the best transportation in the United States. I would beg to differ. It's depending on the night, depending on the day, you could find yourself in a train car full of drug addicts who are openly using, and it can be very, very dangerous. Now, that's not to say that every part of the public transport is like that, but I would just look up Seattle public transport. I'm sure you'll see videos. I'm sure you'll see things, but you will have to very carefully plan things with the public transport. Maybe go onto a Seattle public forum and ask if one particular line is okay. Again, I am not saying that every aspect of the public transportation within Seattle is bad. I am just saying that there are elements that can get really shady really quickly.
All right, next, Gum Street.
Yeah, so we kind of talked about the Gum Street a little bit. If you want to see the Gum Wall, the famous Gum Wall in Seattle, that's going to be in Pike's Place. So keep that in mind if you're looking to do the Gum Street. For our fans of airplanes and basically military as a whole, there is the Boeing factory.
I wish I would have done this.
I've heard good things about it. I've had a lot of people recommend it to me. Boeing is a huge, huge, huge player in the area. It's a big, big industry. And they have this huge factory that you can tour and see the history of Boeing and all these aspects about the Boeing airplanes.
Very nice. And then I would just say getting around Seattle, Uber is so nice and easy and just inexpensive, just much less than private transportation and taxi. So I just say, as far as like getting from point A to point B, yes, there are some nice walks, but don't be afraid just to take an Uber. That is really, I think, what Will and I would both suggest when it comes to doing, you know, one, two or three nights in Seattle, just Uber around the city. Super easy. No problem. Will, what is Gasworks Park?
Yeah. Gasworks Park is another park near Lake Washington, and it has this sort of industrial feel to it. There's a lot of these old, gasworks systems that they use to, I want to say get oil out of the area or something like that, but it's very industrial, but it's a park and you get this beautiful view of, Seattle. Again, as of the time that I went, there was a homeless encampment, a fairly large homeless encampment,
okay,
off to the side of the park. But for the majority of the park, it's very safe and there are a lot of people there. So just keep that in mind, something to keep in mind. But I do recommend Gasworks Park. It's very cool.
Well, when I was in Seattle, my buddy and I did the underground tour. Mm. I see it's called the Bill Spiedels. I might have that wrong.
Yeah.
Underground tour. And I would say there's like four different areas where they take you underground and you get to see glimpses of what, gosh, I don't know what... what it was like in Prohibition times, I guess. But it's my memory isn't great, but I will say I enjoyed it. And I just had some clients do it recently, and they also had a good experience doing it.
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, Seattle Underground Tour is all about seeing old Seattle. What happened was the old town of Seattle caught fire, and you can see a lot of the remnants, the artifacts of this bygone era and the modern city being built on top of it. So you're sort of going underground and you're seeing the old city and it's burnt down.
Yeah,
state.
The underground tour.
There's another area in the city that I think is really cool, and it's sort of a hub of where a lot of the Silicon Valley tech giants are. So your Microsoft, Google, Amazon. Talking about Amazon, there are these Amazon spheres, and there are these basically very large terrariums that a lot of the Amazon employees work in. Now, for a lot of the public, on most days, you can't actually go inside for the majority of the terrariums, but there's a lot of really cool aspects of the spheres, such as a really cool bar, a cocktail bar where you can get some really good pizza.
Yeah.
And if you are kind of interested in some of like the futuristic stuff that Amazon's doing there, like the Amazon Ghost stores. So if you have an Amazon Prime membership, you can actually just walk into these grocery stores.
Yeah.
There's no cashiers. No. You don't have to interact with any employees. You just scan the app, walk into the store, pick up whatever you're interested in, whether it be vegetables or a drink or whatever. You just pick it up and you walk out. You're in, out, just like that. No dealing with the cashiers or anything like that. It's really cool. So if you have an Amazon membership, highly recommend just popping in and checking it out. It's very cool.
You ready for standby items?
Absolutely.
It's safety and other info with standby items. Here we go.
So Seattle is a tech city.
Yeah.
Any more to say on that?
Yeah, I guess I kind of jumped the gun a little bit when I was talking about it in tips. But yeah, it's a very tech-forward city. So a lot of cool stuff going on.
Amazon, obviously.
Yeah, Amazon, huge. Google, Microsoft, three are the big players in the area.
Just the fact also, the next standby item is just that the climate is strange. I know we've talked about the climate, but be prepared for rain. It'll never get that cold and never that hot. So it makes packing a little awkward.
Yeah, so it does make things a little bit awkward, but you know, if you're interested in the high tourism seasons, that's going to be June, July, August, with July and August being the very most, the top most popular. So if you're going to be going there, that's when your flights are going to be the most expensive. And I would say like the low period is January and February. You're not going to see any snow, but you're going to get a lot of rain. But if the rain doesn't bother you, then you're going to get some opportunities to see the area much cheaper and maybe do some of the hikes. That's a little bit of a forewarning here, though. If you do go in the low period, Seattle, although is not a mountainous city, is surrounded by mountains. So if you are interested in going to Rainier, the Cascades, anything anywhere inside the mountains, a lot of those mountain passes are going to be closed because there are going to be feet and feet and feet of snow. So you're not going to be able to actually like pass through.
Dogs are generally welcome everywhere, we noticed.
Yeah, Seattle is a very dog-friendly city. I think that kind of just comes with being like a progressive city.
Yeah, so if you're a dog lover, bring them along. Mm-hmm. Next for flights, Seattle Airport, code SEA for Sierra Echo Alpha, is a hub for Delta Airlines and Alaska Airlines, which you always find funny. Alaska Airlines' big hub is Seattle. It's not even part of Alaska, but it kind of makes sense. It's just nice to connect there to get all over the east coast of our country as well as Alaska. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the new Alaskan Airlines nonstop from Cleveland to Seattle daily. I just started in June of 2022. I hope it stays.
Same. Definitely.
You know, we got to take a ferry from, was it Bainbridge?
That's correct. Yeah. We took a ferry from Bainbridge Island to Seattle, and you can do, you know, vice versa. You can go from Seattle to Bainbridge.
Right.
And that's one of those things, like, I recommend if you don't want to stay inside Seattle, you could probably stay in Bainbridge Island. It's absolutely beautiful. And you can just take the ferry, pop on over. And if you have a car, you can, you know, take the car onto the ferry.
You brought your car right on board. So let's say you bring your car on board and you go to Seattle. How is parking in Seattle?
For the most part, it's pretty horrible. Depending again on like the busy seasons, like if you're in the busy season, you're going to be a hard press to find a parking spot. Sure. But in the low season, I had absolutely no problem, parking. I will say on the ferry, there is an opportunity. I'm not guaranteeing you'll have this, but there is an opportunity you will see wild orcas in the water.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, very cool.
Well, speaking of animal sightseeing, I know you a couple times you did a whale watching cruise.
Not in Seattle. The one we were looking at was like six hours away, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Next would be Seattle is a starting point for many Alaskan cruises. It's a very popular itinerary to keep flight prices low. You can fly in and out of Seattle as opposed to flying into, let's say, Vancouver or Anchorage. And so basically there are a lot of cruise lines have 7-night round trip inside passage cruises from Seattle up into Alaska that hits Juneau, Ketchikan, Skagway, the inside passage. And it's just round trip to Seattle, which makes logistics very nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And, because of that fact, that is when, you know, they start cleaning up a little bit for the tourist season.
Well, and you find with cruises, we recommend every cruise passenger go into their port the night before the cruise starts. So if your cruise starts from Seattle, we're going to recommend 1-2 pre-nights before your cruise starts, which is why it's good to have some ideas from this podcast of things you can do in Seattle before you go. Will, would you rent a car in Seattle?
If you're just looking at Seattle, if you're just visiting Seattle,
like before a cruise, for example.
Yeah. If you're just going for like a cruise or whatever, I wouldn't rent a car. I would not rent a car. If you're interested in, you know, seeing the nature and popping down to Oregon or, seeing Eastern Washington or some of the mountains or some of the islands, then yeah, definitely rent a car.
I have a quick shout out to my buddy Josiah, who I grew up with here in Akron, Ohio, who actually moved out to Seattle, opened up a coffee shop called Cafe Red. I think it's a little outside. It's on Othello Station. So, hey, if you're listening to this podcast, go support my buddy Josiah. When you go to Seattle, go to Cafe Red. I know he's got a lot of live music and some great coffee. So shout out to you, buddy. All right, Will, any last minute tips or thoughts about Seattle as a whole?
You know, I had the viewpoint of seeing Seattle at arguably a worst point and at a point where it's starting to clean up. So my experience, I don't think, is going to be the average experience for a tourist. I just want to say exercise caution in some of the areas, but Seattle as a whole is a beautiful city and there are things to do. And one of my favorite aspects about the city are all of the beautiful nature aspects of the city. So don't let what I say keep you from going to the city. It is a wonderful city with a lot of incredible people.
Well, there you have it. Thank you for listening to our episode on Seattle. We're the Travel Agents.
We're the travel agents. That's the end of our show. Make sure to comment and subscribe before you go.